Hey, everybody, it's Mike Jeff for Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com. On this Throwback Thursday podcast, we're going back to April of 2014 when I interviewed Lonnie Walker, the owner and founder of the Underground Wonder Bar. It used to be happening here in Chicago for over 25 years. We interviewed her at her final spot. Great person, tons of energy. I always loved hanging around with her. She, by the way, is doing quite well. She's not running a club anymore, but I know that she's still spreading the music and, of course, the Wonder vibes. So hopefully you enjoy this, and let's get to it. Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed, the show that introduces you to the people and places that create the jazz scene here in Chicago. I'm your host, Mike Jeffers, the publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine, and I invite you to sit back and listen as I reveal the people and places that make up the Chicago jazz scene. Welcome back to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine. Of course, we're here every Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on WDCB 90.9 FM and podcast on chicagojazz.com. That first tune we heard was from Chicago vocalist Libby York, and the name of the tune was How Long Has This Been Going On? That's off of her latest release, Memoir. She's got a CD release event coming up in June at the Jazz Showcase. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have her on the show, and we'll catch up with Libby about all of her different travels and, of course, hear a little bit more about the new CD. So the new CD, Memoir, Jazz Showcase, coming up this June. Moving right along, we're going to hear a track from vocalist pianist Lonnie Walker, the owner and founder of the legendary Chicago venue, the Underground Wonder Bar. I managed to swing by the Underground Wonder Bar a couple of weeks ago and caught up with Lonnie. Lonnie was actually one of the first people that gave me a gig when I came into town. We'll talk a little bit about that. It was always a wild time at the Underground Wonder Bar. You never knew who was going to stop in or sit in, and of course the music goes until 4 o'clock and then 5 o'clock on Saturday. So it's 7 nights a week of live music, and Lonnie's been doing it for over 20 years. So why don't we hear a tune from Lonnie Walker called I Love the Life I Live. This is off of her recorded live at the Underground Wonder Bar. And then we're going to catch up with Lonnie and find out all about the venue and about what she's got going on these days. Here on 90.9 FM, WDCB.
Just like a hawk, I don't mind the way you talk. Even movements, I'm gonna give. I live the life I love, and I love the life I live. My diamond ring and my money too. To mama, nothing could bend on you. Man, movement, at the wheel. I live the life I love, and I love the life I live. I may make $100 bet this time. To mama, nothing can go for you now. Next week, it could be over the hell. Just time to tell your people how I feel. See me rockin' as I pass you by. Don't talk about me cause I know I'm high. Oh, then forgive me if you will. I live the life I love, then I know the life I live. Thank you.
Don't talk about me cause I'm really high. I'll never give in if you will. I'll live another, then another life I live.
Back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here live on 90.9 FM WDCB. And I'm sitting here, of course, we just heard a tune from my guest, the Underground Wonder Bar owner. Long time as her hands go up. And for those of you that have been at the Underground Wonder Bar, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, she's going to explain that and a lot of other things. Lonnie Walker. And we just heard a song from her first recording, I believe. It's called Recorded Live at Underground Wonder Bar, and the name of that tune was I Love the Life I Live by Willie Dixon, of all people. And Lonnie, I am glad we finally connected, and I'm glad you're on the show. How are you?
Great to be here. It's a weekend show in the middle of the week on Wednesdays.
That's right.
Perfect night for you.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I should tell everybody we're recording this live at Lonnie Walker's Underground Wonder Bar, the new Underground Wonder Bar. And if you hear a little tinkling in the background, we've got the piano being tuned. But I thought, and Lonnie thought it would be cool just to have a little bit of actual real piano being touched in the background, because there's not a lot of clubs with real pianos these days, and there's not a lot of clubs with music 7 days a week.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking before we started started the show a little bit about the original Wonder Bar, which was over on Walton.
Yep. 21 years on Walton.
21 years. I mean,
21 years.
And when you opened that, what year did that open?
1989, the coldest winter in mega years. You know, now we've got it beat by miles, but that year was an extremely cold year.
And when you opened, I mean, I'm always fascinated with the history, you know, the Chicago music history, especially when you come down around in this area. And we should say Now, what's the exact address of the new Underground Wonder Bar?
We're at 710 North Clark Street. It's Clark and Huron. So I've changed from the Gold Coast now into the River North area, which I'm not at all as familiar with. Obviously, 21 years in the Gold Coast, I felt like I was going to be there forever, like we were a rock, a little, you know. But and here we are in brand new, amazing, amazing. And so Clark Street is vibrant. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this club, too, I mean, for those of our listeners that were at the original Underground Wonder Bar, it was cozy,
yes,
to say the least, right?
Yes.
That's a good word, right? Now, in here, I mean, the ceilings are, what, 15, 20 feet tall?
Yeah.
It's a big stage, full bar. She's got a downstairs area, so some nights you have two levels of entertainment happening.
Mm-hmm.
But jumping back to the original one, I remember when I first played there, and that's when I first met you back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And It was almost like one of those clubs that you hear about on Rush Street. You know, when Rush Street was really hot and happening with all the clubs and stuff, it was kind of downstairs into this cool little club. When you first opened, were there a lot of clubs around in 1989, or were you pretty much just like the only game in town over there?
No, that's a myth. The memory that you're talking about, that you know, that you would hear, because you're a youngster compared to a lot of us. So.
I'll take that.
But, is that, you know, that's the heyday of Rush Street. We came in, Rush Street was horribly depressed.
Really?
Horribly depressed. And there was nothing around. The back room was still there. I'll give them, I mean, they were survivors upon survivors. But they were, you know, they were on Rush Street. We were definitely, most definitely off of Rush Street.
Yeah.
And my favorite line, because it is true, is that there were still hookers turning tricks right out in front of our bar. In
oh, really?
Cars. There was a double X store that was there and it was not going anywhere because they owned the building. So it was a little rough territory at the time. And our wonderful doorman, Glenn, when Glenn came in, he would sometimes wield a golf club, just kind of dun, 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 sitting with his little golf club because we were in a dark section of, you know.
And what was the cross street?
Well-lit.
It was Walton and was it?
It wasn't. This was before the 7-Eleven, even.
I mean, really?
There was no 7-Eleven. No.
So what was the cross street? It was Walton and.
Oh, what was cross street?
Yeah.
It was on Walton, in between Rush and State.
Okay. Yeah.
Now Blue Chicago had been around the around the corner on State Street, but they got outrented too because what happened is we were all in a demolition clause. We all knew that, you know. So for 21 years, I lived with the anvil over my head.
Oh, so when you signed the lease, it was like a demolition clause in there that if they decided to sell the building,
and
you're out within a month. That's done.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And you lasted 21 years.
21 years.
Man.
But it's a very interesting, you know, edgy feeling to know that, you know, your entire existence. So I was always looking for another opportunity.
Now you, and for our listeners that don't know, of course, you just heard a track from Lonnie, and we're going to hear a couple more too.
Great.
Piano player, vocalist, composer, artist extraordinaire,
playwright. Yep. Mother. Mystic.
Yes.
That's the part we don't know about yet.
But you're also a club owner.
Yes.
And back in 1989, I mean, how did you even select the location? Because I you know, jumping, we're fast forwarding, we're going past all your background stuff, because I know that you used to play and we'll get back to that stuff. But I mean, how did you even select that location to go in and become a club owner on Walton and State, basically?
Right. Well, I love downtown. You know, I thrive downtown. I love out-of-towners. I love people coming from all over the world. And my intention was, because I had three kids at the time, and then I subsequently had another one. So I said, if I can't travel the world for my career the way that I want to be known in the world, then I'm going to have the world come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. So the location picked me because it was a 4 o'clock. I was definitely looking for a 4 o'clock license, because that's another thing I thrive on, is that I would get done with what I call dumb jobs, you know, just dumb jobs and good making money making dumb jobs. And I would want my soul fed. I would want to either sit in or do something. And quite frankly, we all know and loved the Bulls before it was Jazz Bulls. It was called the Bulls.
The Bulls.
And they stopped their music at 2:30, and it was really infuriating for a lot of people. And now that I'm an owner, I know I can get them neighborhood pressure, if that's in fact what it was. But they never explained that to you. They just quit their music at 2:30 with a 4 o'clock license. It didn't make any sense.
Right.
So I vowed that we would never, you know, I don't care if there's two people in the club, we're going to play music till 3:30, until the dot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in fact what we did. We still play 3:30 six nights a week until 4:30 on Saturdays.
So, I mean, I'm curious, like, because you're playing all these gigs and you're playing all around town, and you're playing jobbing stuff, corporate things. You know, solo piano, probably in restaurants and everything else. I mean, were you sitting on a ton of money that was just burning a hole in your pocket? You wanted to go open up a club? But I mean, how did you?
On the contrary, I work like a mad woman because I am. And I had also vowed that I would get my money in real estate. So what I did is I took, with my then husband, and my boy's father, we took a dilapidated old building and, rehabbed them and did that kind of thing. But for our own selves, what we did was, passive solar was called at the time. Now it'd be called green, but at the time it was called passive solar. And so I took, you know, this 100-year-old building and then made my stake from there, being able to get the money out to fund the club.
Oh, okay.
Little did I know that, you know, like, blah, how much it might bleed before we... Because I was committed to no cover charge in the beginning, too. And after 17 months, when the funds were gone, so I did, you know, I stayed afloat for 17 months. And then I just said, I have no choice. We have to charge cover charge.
Right.
So on Monday nights, we charged $2, and people would balk at $2. So those were the
well,
days,
even
my friend.
Even nowadays, I mean, you have a cover here, but
oh, yeah.
I mean,
we
downtown do. I think is a little different. But I can remember being places where it's like a $5 cover, and they're like, well, forget it, I'm leaving. But
yeah.
you know, if they
yeah.
came in, they'd spend $60 at the bar
yeah.
without thinking about it. So
right.
it's almost like one of those barriers. But you've
right.
broken that barrier because
right.
I think, especially in this area and with the entertainment you provide,
right.
I mean, it's a bargain to begin with walking in here.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so you got all that going and everything. I mean, were you learning that you were learning the business as you went? Basically, right? I mean, because you played in them, but you weren't behind the scenes, like looking at the books and ordering liquor and doing all that.
Not that part of it. Nope. I cut my teeth and
and
I had great people helping me all the time, though. I always had just wonderful people who came and joined the ranks. I was like 12. Some are lifers.
Yeah. But now you never stopped playing.
Nope.
So you were always, I know now you're playing 3 nights a week here.
Four
nights a week.
Yeah, 3 with the band and 1 solo.
Okay. Were you still doing that then, or was
yeah.
it every night?
Oh, no. Well, you know, when I first opened, I was playing 6 nights a week, and I knew that was just silly. That was until we just figured out the room.
Yeah.
And that was like for 3 months, and then I switched it around and put that tiny little stage
mm-hmm.
because the sight lanes were terrible. It was not a great place at all
right.
to open up a live music club. It was, you know, as people know from, you had to go through the band in order to go to the washroom.
Right.
You had to stand in line. I mean, there were mega things that were wrong with it, but that's what made it so special, as we like to say.
Well, I remember when I was playing there with you here and there, the women that were waiting in line for the bathroom suddenly had tambourines and they were playing
yeah.
in the band while they
yeah,
were
absolutely.
Waiting in line. You just say, hey, grab that, will you? Let's go. And oh, man, they had a great time.
So that's still part of my thing here, by the way. It, you know, that was right. That was just the happening of how it happened.
Yeah.
And now it's become a whole part of just an amazing part of the rhythm thing that I do now, which is, I'm in new terms, I'm called a jam band now. And
I
didn't know that. I just know that we do a lot of percussion.
Yeah.
And the audience fills in with the percussion in a wonderful way. We have a little more room to dance. So we didn't care how much room we had back then either. They just danced anyway, you know,
right.
even if it was, you know, with your butt in somebody's face.
Actually, we were talking before we went on the air, and I interviewed you years ago at the original Underground Wonder
yeah.
Bar
yeah.
with a video camera, and
yep.
we videoed it and,
yep.
and interviewed and everything. So if anybody listening wants to check that out, more information at chicagojazz.com. We'll put that video up next to the interview that we're doing on the podcast
nice.
And stuff so
nice.
They can check it out, because there's people dancing in that
yeah.
up on the piano
yeah.
up next to the piano and everything. Now you mentioned the music, right? You're considered a jam band now.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, you've always been like jazz, blues, rock, reggae. You never knew what you were going to get when you came to see
sure
your
enough.
Band
yep.
perform.
Yep.
How did you come up in the ranks? I mean, when you first started, did you first start playing piano when you were younger and singing, or was it just something that organically happened, the singing and piano playing, and, you know?
Okay, well, that's pretty easy, too, because I come from a singing family. We're sort of like the Von Trapp family, where everybody sings. And my grandmother on my father's side plays saloon style of stride blues. And the grandmother on the other side was Irish, who would play, you know, just ballads mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother played classical. So I grew up in all of those genres.
So you were
studied
influenced
classical.
By everything,
yep.
yeah.
And then my grandmother used to let me jam with her, which was really a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't even imagine how patient she was. But and then I switched to guitar. So my voice was always there, too. I was a born singer, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't take lessons. And, you know, some people might say, yeah, we can tell that you didn't. But I didn't want anybody to ruin what my organic sound was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were coming up, you went through high school, college. I mean,
no,
did you go to college?
No, I'm a grateful high school dropout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a grateful, I love saying that too. It's not for everybody, but I'm a grateful high school dropout coloring outside the lines, because high school held nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the road when I started out when I was 15. They kept hauling me back, and then I got permission to leave at 16. So that's who we are and where we are
yeah.
today, because my parents let me leave. They gave
now,
me permission.
Were you
to leave.
Doing music then, or
Oh, I was traveling with my guitar, my Red Harmony guitar.
Oh, okay. Doing solo acoustic stuff or anything?
Anything. The old Ratzos, Chicago outlawed street stuff. But I traveled a lot. You know, I put my thumb out. Those are the days when you could just put your thumb out and go anywhere.
You just hitchhike because
yeah.
nobody was going to kill you in the car. It was
no,
like, okay,
I was
no problem. Yeah.
I was invincible. I had no fear.
So how'd you end up coming back and kind of settling down in Chicago where you weren't going to split? And
right.
And,
well, it just always called me back. Yeah. I would think about leading, and Chicago's a great working town, too. I mean, I actually joined the Musicians Union mm-hmm. when I was really young, and, you know, I just really settled in here because of the music scene. It's such a vibrant music scene, and so many people have influenced me because even, you know, speaking of Ratzos, when they switched, they went to big names. I mean, that was, can you imagine? I was 18 years old. Well, because I lied about my age for a really long time. So
you were 18 for like a long time, probably.
I was.
Right?
Yeah, I was. I would say 19 because I think 18, you know, was. So I was. When I was 22 is what I meant to say, when I was, you know, for a really long time. But yeah. I started tending bar at 17 years old. So
oh,
when you
wow.
say behind the scenes, I know a lot of behind the scenes because that's how I got into all the bars. You know, that's how I got into London House. I got into Mr. Kelly's. I got into the back room. I mean, and then Ratzos, you know, Carmen McRae. I mean, Lonnie Liston Smith. These are people, you know, how can I, you know, McCoy Tyner.
Yeah.
He was my idol.
And so they would and they would be there for a long
jazz showcase.
Period of time.
What am I thinking about? Yeah. Jazz showcase. I would make money to go and hear the greats and just feed off that.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about being back in Chicago, yeah. I think that's a perfect spot right now. Why don't we take a listen to another tune and we'll come back and we'll talk about Chicago and how you ended up in this brand new spot over here at 710 North Clark Street.
Right.
What tune are we going to hear? Song for Raphael?
Song for Raphael. And this song I wrote when I was in California. And I let it just lay there for a long time.
Is this when you were traveling around and you wrote this?
No, it was a little later. But, you know, depending on where I am, I hear the sounds of the city. I know it sounds a little odd, but that's, you know, the different tunes that I've written. You'll see my style is all over the place. And it's that's true of this song. You can't categorize the style,
mm-hmm.
but, and I was shocked and amazed when we started rehearsing the tune with Joe Thomas, Smokin' Joe Thomas yep. on bass, and, Kevin Weiniger was on guitar at the time, and, Corey Radford on drums.
Yeah.
And they understood my music. They understood it more than I, you know, I had jazz theory. I studied with Alan Swain too, so I understood the jazz theory and went on from, you know, no college to just taking music courses, you know, at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they understood in a better way, and I was shocked and amazed that they could play my music because this is really complicated stuff. So when you hear it now with all the horns and all the everything, in the studio, it's really a dream come true of having, and with the background vocals, with the horns, Kenny, you know, just, I'll let the tune speak for itself, but it's called Song for Raphael and it's part of a musical that developed over a bunch of years called Isadora, I Love You. It's inspired by and dedicated to Isadora Duncan, the dancer. So what I do is double, triple dare people to dance to this tune because it's out there. It's wild.
And it's off of the album Change is Good.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's take a listen to this. So Song for Raphael, written and composed by Lonnie Walker.
Yes.
Off the album Change is Good. And we'll be back here with a little bit more with Lonnie Walker right after we hear the tune on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, and chicagojazz.com.
You hear? yourself free. Now that you can love me, I'm gonna let me be free. We'll be right back. going around town. You bad, my love. I know you hear.
All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine. And we just heard a track called Song for Raphael from Lonnie Walker, who is my special guest. That's off of her latest, not her latest, but off of one of her releases, Change is Good. Yeah. And we've got a few more minutes here with Lonnie. We're sitting at the brand new Underground Wonder Bar, which... And her arms are up, and we got to find out what that means. But it's at 710 North Clark Street here in Chicago, Clark and Huron.
Yes.
Easy parking, I always like to tell everybody. It really is. Because,
people get scared.
You
can park within a 1 to 2 block radius any night of the week.
Yeah. It's not like going down into the heart like by Gibson's or something. Two seconds from being in the heart by Gibson's, but you still, I mean, it's still more of a neighborhood over here, so I love it. Why don't we talk a little bit about the Wonder Bar? Now, why the name the Wonder Bar?
Oh.
And then we'll talk about why the arms go up, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been here when she says Wonder, and everybody's arms go up, and Wonder Bar. So why the name Wonder Bar?
Well, my son Jordan named it when he was 8 years old, and many people, if you know me, you know my kids, or if you know my kids, you know me, because they're all in the music business. They grew up in the music business. And so Jordan was 8 when he named it. He thought it should be Lonnie's Wonderland, but I was like, no, it's underground. And I don't want to do that Alice in Wonderland thing, but I get it. It's a wonder. So that's how it came about, very simply.
Yeah.
And from an 8-year-old.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But the arms up is that, again, things happen. I tell people I'm a very traditional girl, and they laugh because they see me as anything but traditional, but I really am because I love traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone put their arms up into the circus pose and said Wonder Bar, I thought it's brilliant because it embodies everything like touchdown, like success, like, you know, victory, anything. But what it also does, and this is a really funny thing, because it also lets me know who's been in the club before. So I say Underground Wonder Bar. It's an amazing marketing tool. I can tell how hard I have to work or not work in order to let you know me.
Right.
Because if you already know me, I'm just going to go crazy on you, you know, right off the bat. But if you don't, I'm going to take it a little easier on you.
You're going to ease them into it.
Yeah.
But that's the international sign for wonder, right? The Wonder Bar, the arms go up, and that's...
International Wonder Pose.
That's right. Well, so let's jump back to the old Wonder Bar, the original Wonder Bar.
Yep.
So you found out that all of a sudden your demolition clause was going into effect, and you had a little more than just a month. I think it was about 6 months or so.
We bought as much time as we could,
And when you moved from there, you kind of were nomadic a little bit because you ended up at one place or another, but you always kept it going. You were always still doing it. I mean, how tough was it at that point?
Impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible. The odds of landing another 4 o'clock license were near impossible because obviously I did it. But I'd say that the universe lined us up. It was not even me because if I had tried, I beat my head against the wall for a couple of 4 o'clock licenses that were flogging because there are no more new ones at all. You can't.
Right.
They're not issued at all. You have to buy into an existing one, and so that means that you have to find somebody who's going down and wants out in order to, you know, so that, but I didn't, you know, a wonderful broker I knew from 100 years ago at the Bulls before it was the Jazz Bulls.
Okay.
Put us together and with, you know, my current partner who's just amazing. And so I walked into it and just sat right down and there it was. And then I do have to just thank, you know, without mentioning names because everybody knows where they're, everybody who contributed. I could not, because we talked about the real estate that funded the original.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I'm in the big league now. These are big bucks. I don't have real estate to fund this because the whole market tanked. Everything tanked. We're talking 2010 when everything tanked.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
People came forward.
Yeah.
Amazing people. Some people I didn't even know came forward. It's been an amazing gift, amazing journey, and in a boatload to pay back. So, you know, I love work, as we already established, that I'm happy with work. It's not work. It's play for me, because I get to create all this and more. There's so many intangibles, and there's new artists on the scene that are that's exactly what Wonder is. Old artists, new artists, emerging artists, re-emerging artists. Mm-hmm. World-class artists, all genres except for, you know, heavy rock, blah, blah, you know. And rockers come in once in a while, too, for a party. And I'm like, okay, that's not exactly our style. But, you know, and some hardcore people come in every once in a while, too. And we just, okay, all right, that's fun for one night. Goodbye.
Well, you know, the thing that I think about with this place and in the new place, the old place, is that whether you like jazz, classical, hip-hop, whatever.
Yep.
It's a fun place to be,
right.
And it's not like one of those places, you know, you've been in those clubs where maybe the music's like unbelievably loud. You can't even function when there's a live band up there, right. And it's just killing you, and it's not interesting, and it just goes on and on. It's so eclectic in here. You never know who's going to get on stage and perform, and you never know what style is going to be
performed. True.
And yep. I'm sure that wasn't something that you initially planned for. Maybe you wanted to do it a little bit, but, I mean, who would have thought over the years – for it to evolve like this.
Right, to the evolvement and the magnitude of the artists who continue to come through just unceasing. It's, you know, it's like this pool of amazing artists who come through.
Yeah.
You know, and we have more specialty. We have a open mic from 7 to 10 on Sundays. We have a jam on Mondays and Monday late nights, and we have an all-pro jam on Tuesdays. So we have a lot of built-in things where that is what it is. It's open up because there has to be somewhere that people can come in and jam, too.
Yeah.
You know, and then with my band, too, because since we know so many people, I don't allow as many sit-ins as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the jam thing, the audience is jamming.
Right.
And I love the drum rhythm stuff. That's what's these days. It's just making me really happy. Shaking a lot of really cool instruments and plus the acoustics, as you can hear. I mean, that's just one acoustic piano in
right,
the background.
Right.
And
it's not.
The acoustics are beautiful.
Yeah, I'm pretty stunned because, I mean, we are at the front of the club and the piano's in the back of the club up on the stage, and it's not amplified at all, and it's just coming right through. It's a great sounding room in here.
Yeah.
So moving right along with everything, you also not only do music here, you do spoken word, do a lot of different things. Now, you also wrote a one-woman play.
No, it's not a one-woman play. No, by no means. It's a full cast, and it's a prose poetry dance musical. And
that was a couple of years ago, right? You performed it?
Yeah, I wrote it. It's been in stages. It's little nucleus. Its birth was 1998.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote the music in 1989, right before opening the original Wonder.
Oh, okay.
So I knew it was a musical. I didn't know what it was going to be. I had three tunes, and they sat there for 8 years until I traveled. I traveled a bunch in Europe, and I've been really blessed to, even though I said I wasn't going to travel the world, I've been very fortunate once my kids got older to be able to travel a lot and to play bass. My son played bass with me, my son Elliot Taggart.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And Jordan Taggart, I got to produce his CD, and my son Andrew Taggart played on it. So it's, you know, that's the joys of being able to have an anchor and do those things. But what I come back with, you know, as I say, the tunes that I write and the inspiration that I get from traveling all around the world, I came back with the full knowledge of Isadora, I Love You. That's the name of the play. It's a prose poetry dance musical.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally said, oh, that's what the music belongs to. There's the story. There it is.
Okay.
And it came flying out of my pen. We produced it many times, and we even resurrected it after 9 years. We performed a portion of it here.
Okay.
And the proceeds always go to, it's called, the big function is called Veterans of a Different Kind of War,
mm-hmm.
so that it's going back to Better Women's, it's going back to Veterans for Peace, it's going back to right now their names are escaping me, and we've also awarded people who have been in that thankless field for so long.
Yeah.
So we produced it in a 750 seat theater.
Wow.
And we produced it just teensy weensy at the original Wonder. So it can be small, it can be large, and I do. So that the song that we're going to hear is the beginning of all that.
So Dreamin' is the beginning of all that.
The beginning of all that.
Okay.
That it morphed into this amazing thing. And I, before we do that, though, I'm going to say on air, I have another musical that's been sitting there just doing things inside of me for 10 years now.
Wow.
Yes, and it's about to be birthed.
Ah.
I put my fist down and said that somewhere around Mother's Day of this year, I'm mm-hmm. going to show part of it because I'm tired of it being just inside. So what you have to do and what Wonder allows us, the Wonder Lab is downstairs, by the way. So I'll do part of it in the Wonder Lab and just help you, just help birth it because
right.
It's a difficult process sometimes with these musicals. And
I mean, you're writing the script, you're putting everything
yeah,
together.
The whole shebang.
Obviously the music, but then you write the script yeah. out and block
yeah.
it and
yeah,
stage it. And
yeah.
Wow.
I have directors and I have
It's a good thing you don't have anything to do.
I know.
So that's,
you know? And they, well, that's all while I'm launching the food, the new Wonder
You're
Food
right.
in April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's April is the launch of the new Wonder Food, which is a resurrection, really, of the original food that we had, which was called, at the time, you'll love the name and say, okay, thank God she dropped that one. It was called New Age Cuisine.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's catchy.
Yeah. Exactly. So that neon sign broke. It's only in a couple pictures. But now it's called Global Infusion Food.
Ah, see, that's a hipper name.
Global
that's
Infusion.
That's a hipper name.
And it's organic, and you don't even know it's good for you.
It so you're going to so you're gonna have that here starting
yes.
sometime in April.
April, yep.
Oh, excellent.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, so May, you will see the birth and the workshopping of my new musical called Pachamama is Alive. And, well, we have mother issues.
All right.
Long names.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. That's so if anybody wants to get more information on everything, they should visit. What's the website?
Oh, undergroundwonderbar.com.
Underground. So more information
yep.
at undergroundwonderbar.com.
Yep.
We'll have up an extended with the video and all that stuff up on the podcast
nice.
Page on chicagojazz.com. But why don't we close it out since we were just talking about this. What nights are you here? We should also mention
okay,
that, too,
great.
So everyone knows.
Big Batten and Company Band, in case you needed to edit that. And that's Lonnie Walker and her Big Company Band every Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here solo, and that's S-O-U-L-O. That's my solo
okay.
self,
okay.
where I still love to touch my early roots, you know, and go back to that, my solo set. I call it Titillating, Tantalizing, Toe-Tapping Tuesday Tunes. And that's every Tuesday, the early set, 8:30 to 10:30. Cause
so then
like,
you come on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
At 11 p.m.
At 11 to 1:30.
No, no, till 3:30.
Oh, till 3:30. Oh,
yeah.
And then every other week, your son's band.
Right. That's
okay.
on the Saturdays, late night Saturdays, and you'll be happy to know that, too, that they have come in amazingly the first and third Saturdays and do the 2 to 5 set.
Okay.
But other than that, all the way till the wee hours, till, you know, we're going to keep you alive and, you know,
yeah.
shake it down.
Well, good. I'm glad I popped in. This is
yeah.
a beautiful spot. Hopefully all of our listeners make it out to check this out.
Yeah.
And more information at Wonderbar.
Undergroundwonderbar.com. Yeah.
And 710 North Clark Street yeah. here in Chicago. And why don't we go out with the tune that Lonnie was talking about, Dreamin'. This is off the album Change is Good here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, ChicagoJazz.com.
And I double, triple dare you to get up and dance to this.
There it is. There's your challenge.
I was walking around writing this song. Think about those words I just said. What is that? I love you. I do. I said I need you. I did. When I said I'm sorry, I am. when I said it's over. I like to read a funny line. Awesome way to pass. Change is good. 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 Redefine the lines. Wash away the past. Change is good. Change is good. Redefine the lines. Wash away the past. Change is good. Those words I just said. When I said I love you, I do. When I said I need you, I did. When I said I'm sorry, and it's over. I like to redefine the lines, wash away the past. Change is good. Change is good. Redefine the lines, wash away the past. Change is good. Sing sometimes.
Thank you for listening to Chicago Jazz Revealed. To hear extended interviews with our guests and a podcast of the show, get more information at www.chicagojazz.com. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we will be back next Wednesday at 9 p.m. here on 90.9 FM WDCB. Thanks for listening.